Right, good morning everyone. Welcome to the Shore Community Church. I'm Nick, I'm one of the ministers here. The other minister's on holiday, the administrator's on holiday, the entire band is on holiday, the sound tech person's on holiday, the computer person's on holiday. It's a bit of a stripped back service, but hopefully it will be special in some different ways. We've got quite a few different elements that we're going to be hopefully embracing within this service, and the theme, and particularly with the sermon and the response time at the end, is it's called And Breathe. And just for us to be soaking in that in the service, just to have that space and to seek to embrace that as well. So for all of you guys here this morning, some of you might be coming here with different burdens, different difficulties from the week gone by. So just see this as a time, as a space to be able to shoulders down, breathe a bit, and to just embrace what will be. But first I'm going to invite Joe up to share the notices and a little reflection as well.
I'm Joe, and I'm one of the members here. I volunteered to do the notices and I didn't realise, but I just wanted to bring to your attention that we always think of, we tend to think of worship as being musical, don't we? And I looked it up and I thought, no, it's not always that way, because do you remember when the shepherds had the message given to them when Jesus was born? The angels came, didn't they? The archangel came and gave the message, and then the other angels came, and they didn't sing. They said, "Glory to God in the highest." I checked on that the other day just to make sure. And then when Isaiah saw God in the temple, and he was surrounded by the seraphims, they say, "Holy, holy, holy." They don't sing. So, especially if you're tone deaf, that's a really big help to you. But it just shows you, doesn't it? You know, we just sort of go on thinking these things, but it's not necessarily what the Bible tells us. So, welcome everybody. Welcome to those online. Welcome to you. Have we got any visitors? Yes, where are you, Sarah Drakes? You're a visitor. Coming back. Sarah used to be here, so welcome to Sarah. It's lovely to see you. And I don't think we have anybody else. Oh, we do, Annabelle. Welcome, Annabelle. So stand up and just let everybody see you. No, just wave your hand. Okay, so what we're going to do now, I'll take the risk, just turn to somebody and say welcome and have a chat. You've got half a minute and then I'll wave my hands. So just talk to people. Sorry, Annabelle. Hello. Okay, well done. It's good, isn't it, just to chat with people, and you can continue with this afterwards when we have coffee and tea. Now, I've got five things I've got to remind you of, okay? The first one is that we're having the Harvest service on October the 2nd, and it's the grand finale of our Talents fundraising efforts to bring what we've raised and also to sell our wares afterwards at the Harvest Fair. There's a quiz evening on the 3rd of September. If you're like me, I got the wooden spoon the last time we did it. But it's £5 a person, and you can buy tickets. And I was going to say from Jill and from Sandy, but neither of them are here, so there we are. Oh, stand up, Sandy, then, and then you can see. There's Sandy. She has. Yes, thank you. Thank you very much. I don't know why I called you Sandy, but anyway, never mind. And then April is running a marathon, New Forest Marathon. She's not here, but if you want to, if you want to support her, she's practicing. Oh, okay. if you want to sponsor her, you can then perhaps do it later on, or perhaps online. There's no prayer meeting in April for the church on Zoom, but please pray. We need prayer, don't we? And but the prayer for the persecuted church is still going on by on Zoom every, is it Tuesday at 7 o'clock? So that's it, yeah. Now, news. We've got some sad news, but maybe it's glad news for them. Two of our members, former members, have gone to be with the Lord. Both moved away from the area, so most of you wouldn't know them. But Heather Hunt, she was the first diaconess here, if any of you remember Heather. And also, there's, what's her name, Roberta Nye. She was a member here. She moved to Chichester, and she used to do the Christmas dinners. I always remember her. She's a bright and cheerful lady. So they're now with the Lord, so it's glad for them, but they'll be missed. And something else I want to talk to you about is the fact that something that started 300 years ago, just before I was born. Count Zinzendorf and the Moravians started a prayer meeting. And they decided that they would pray 24 hours, 7 days a week. And they did it for a week, and then they did it for another week, and then they did it for a month, and they did it for 12 months. And then it went on, not with them, because they'd passed on, but it went on for 100 years. A prayer meeting for 100 years. Well, we're going to have one in Bognor Regis 24/7, but not for 100 years. It's going to be from the 25th of September to the 2nd of October. And it's going to be in the Sally Army, in the hub, in the High Street. And, you know, we need to pray for Bognor. We can pray for the council. We can pray for the schools. We can pray for the businesses. We can pray for the churches. Let's pray for our neighbours. We can pray for many, many things. And later on, they're online, you'll be able to sign up and for a slot for an hour. If you want to do 2 hours, if you want to do 24 hours, it's up to you. But I would encourage you, and you might say, well, I can't pray for an hour. Ooh. It's amazing how quickly the time goes, especially when you just sit there and talk with God. So think about it. You could perhaps do it before going to work, perhaps do it before going shopping or after you drop the kids off at school, maybe later on in the evening. I'm not a night person, but some people are. You can pray at night. And so bear that in mind. That's at the Salvation Army. And I think that's all we have to say, except that there will be giving. Those of us, have we got, yes. We are going to give our tithes and our offerings. But I've just got one more thing to say. Sorry, Sarah. Paddington Bear has visited the church. Yes. Mm-hmm. And he's left a message. And as you go out the front door, would you please have a look on the left as you go out? So giving will now take place. So God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Joe. I think a round of applause for Joe as well. I think she's a little bit hard on herself as well, isn't she? She can't be much over 95, really. So, I'm just going to invite Amanda to come up and share a little bit about what the kids will be doing out the back and a little reflection of her own as well.
Yeah, not one to follow a recipe. Nick asked me to share what the kids were doing, and I thought, nah, I'll do something else. We're upstairs at the moment rather than out the back. But I do have a confession to make. We're doing different things over the summer, having more of a fun day Sunday feel. But at the beginning of the summer, after summer holidays, after holiday club, I was tired. I really didn't feel like doing a fun kids session upstairs on the Sunday following kids club, but we did it. And I thought it was quite a good game I started off with. I was quite proud of myself, and one of the children was sort of fidgeting a bit, and I said, you know, what's wrong? And they said, I'm bored. So I thought, well, is it the way I'm doing it? Is it that it's not engaging enough? But who knows? But it really got me thinking this week about being bored, because it's something parents, grandparents, aunties, uncles, we hear. I'm bored. I want to do something interesting. But we live in an overly stimulating society, don't we? It's like bam, 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 all the time. Entertainment, stimulation. And actually, research has shown that the more stimulation we have, the more we want. So the more we actually receive, the more exciting stuff we receive, we get bored earlier. Does that make sense? So we perceive boredom earlier because we think, oh, nothing's happening. It's not getting to me. I'm not excited enough. And I was thinking about, Nick was saying, he was talking about breathing today. I was thinking about, well, how can we use boredom positively? We've seen the negatives. We've seen the tantrums and the shouting and we do things to ourselves when we're bored. We scroll or we eat or we do our own things. But can we use it positively? We can almost choose to be bored or choose to use that downtime in a positive way rather than just escape. How can I escape the boredom? I know, I'll pick up my phone and I'll scroll through Facebook. But children don't do that consciously. They don't consciously escape. But if in kids' church we're asking them or expecting them to reflect on life, on God, on Jesus, on themselves, if they're not used to thinking in that downtime, they're not going to be able to do that. So what we need to do is actually give them space. Sometimes it is when they're playing or when they're doing something calmer, but give them space, but help them to use that time consciously to be more self-aware, because self-awareness comes before self-reflection. They can't think about it. It's no good saying to children, now you go and sit on that stair and think about what you've just done. if they can't self-reflect. So it is really good to have a downtime in kids' church and have more different activities where we're not constantly asking questions, challenging them. So although we've been having fun and doing Play-Doh and foam and painting and we're doing a bit of singing today, it is still really helpful for us to have time away from entertainment. We in kids' church aren't there for entertainment. We want to connect the children with God, with Jesus. Okay, so what are we doing today? We have been doing lots of exciting things, but today we're going to talk about worship. And it was really nice that you said, Joe, that worship isn't just singing, but we are going to do a bit of singing. And we're going to do a bit of flag waving and making flags. But children that are here, I'm feeling very vulnerable here, but do you enjoy coming to kids' church? Yes! Brilliant. So be prepared for your children, your grandchildren, to be bored, and it's okay. It's okay to be bored. But today we're not going to be bored, we're going to have fun. Yeah! Okay.
Brilliant. Thank you very much, Amanda. It's very good to know that we can be bored. That will be come in handy when I'm doing my sermon later. So the kids and the leaders are going to be heading out to their activities now. Really hope they do have some great times together. I'm just going to pray as they head out. Lord, we thank you for this time, for this space, for us to gather together, to worship you in creative and different ways. Lord, I thank you that we can be stretched and challenged into thinking of different ways to sing your praise, to worship you, to seek to live the Jesus way. And Lord, we pray for the kids as they head out to their activities. Pray that you bless them, that they will know that you are with them throughout all of that time, throughout all of their lives. Lord, we thank you that you journey with us from when we are in our mother's womb right through to the end of our lives here. Lord, you are always with us. So, Lord, I pray that you bless them and you bless us in this time ahead. Amen. And I'm just going to invite Derek up now. We're going to be continuing with our prayers together. Something that we don't do so often here at this church, but other churches will do sometimes every Sunday, sometimes every other Sunday, is to do intercessory prayers, to be really praying into our community, into our nation, into our world. And there's some real value in doing that, in focusing in on some of those things that we really need to be praying for as a community. So Derek's going to be sharing in that now.
Well, you know who I am. Derek, and I'm a member here. And do you know we can all enter into praying? And how we're going to do that this morning is when I say, Lord, in your mercy, you will reply, hopefully, hear our prayer. Now, we all know that God is going to hear our prayers anyway, but it's really, as we say, hear our prayer, hear our heart cry. And do you know why a holy God such as ours should delight in fellowship with us? But he does, as we pray. We know that our sins are forgiven because of what Jesus did on the cross. So when we pray, we know we can draw near to him. It says in Revelation 3 that before us is an open door into his presence that cannot be shut. We're seated with Christ in the heavenly places, so we can use the scripture I've just quoted to know that we are going into the throne room. And he wants to hear our heart cry. So let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit, wake us up into your presence as we pray. Lord, we pray for the countries around the world that need our prayers, in famine or war or turmoil. Please name out loud those countries that come into your mind by the Holy Spirit. Yemen, Israel, the Middle East, Lord, in your mercy. We pray for the friends and families of those who have recently been bereaved, as we remember Roberta Nahi, Heather Hunt, others. Please name them. Ray Farden. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for those who can't get to church. Mick Greenhill, Rosemary Heaton, Stephanie Fleet, Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we pray for those who are sick. Those who need encouragement. John Lefort. Jan Locke. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for our church ministry and your wisdom, Lord, for the future. The Haven. Our mission. Coffee Plus. Our youth. Lord, in your mercy. We now silently lift others to the Lord in our own hearts at this time. Lord, in your mercy. And now for ourselves, according to Ephesians 3, I pray that out of his glorious riches, that he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know in your knowers this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you very much, Derek, for sharing those wonderful prayers. So now we're going to be moving into the time of the sermon. And as we've already shared at the start of this service, the theme is about breathing. I was just wondering, I don't know how many people here have experienced it. Put your hands up if you've ever experienced breathing in any way, shape or form. Yeah. Well, not many of you, apparently. I kind of thought it might be something that we've kind of all got in common, and that could be a good theme to reflect on. But also the theme of breathing over the summer holidays as well. For some people, it's really not that much of a breather, but for others, it can be that point where you're able to take stock a little bit, maybe a little bit of and breathe time. So it kind of just felt a little bit appropriate. And for those of us that it's quite a busy time and really it hasn't changed, or actually it's just increased, hopefully there'll be some things within this time and in the response time afterwards that will just help us to breathe a bit, to be more present and to have a little bit of space as well. So apparently we breathe in and out about 22,000 times a day. Does anyone keep count? No, I didn't think so. So you'd expect all of us to kind of be experts at breathing, wouldn't you? If we're all breathing 22,000 times a day. I mean, I don't like to brag, but I've breathed approximately 241 billion times so far in my life. Some of you might have breathed just that little bit more. but the vast majority of the times that I breathed, I mean, I've done it without even thinking, but I know I'm just showing off there now. But you would kind of expect me to be pretty good at breathing by now. I do actually have this annoying habit of forgetting to breathe sometimes. I don't know if any of you ever experience that, where you're kind of really, really focusing in on something. Maybe you're really trying to do some intricate work, or you're a bit stressed about something, or you're a bit tired, or you're a bit angry. There's times where Han has to actually remind me to breathe when I'm focusing in on something. That could just be me, though. But in fact, a lot of the time, a lot of us suck at breathing. Ironically, I think breathing well is something that we all struggle with in different ways. And hopefully, if we take anything from this talk, it's to just help us to reflect on what it means to breathe well and how breathing can help us in our emotional, our physical, our spiritual lives. So we'll all be aware of perhaps different breathing techniques that we've heard of over the years. You know, some of the simple ones, just to take deep breaths, to control and regulate our breathing. Sometimes if we're feeling a little bit faint, once again, something I'm not brilliant at. I've got a little bit of a habit of fainting. but I think for us at different points in our lives, we know in that moment, whatever that moment might be, we need to take those deep breaths. And then there's other more specific breathing techniques as well, mindfulness and meditation techniques, where we become more aware of our breathing. And some Christians can be quite wary of these mindfulness meditation techniques, perhaps seeing it as some newfangled hippie nonsense. The Bible doesn't have anything to say on this, some people might think. But actually, the theme of breathing really courses through the Bible. In the Old Testament, the word for breath is ruach, and that is in Hebrew. And then in the New Testament, it is pneuma in Greek. So these two words, ruach in Hebrew and pneuma in Greek, they mean spirit, they mean wind, they mean breath, they mean all of those things at different points when they're used. So both the Hebrew ruach and the Greek pneuma, they mean breath, they mean wind, they mean spirit. And in the book of Ecclesiastes, it says that when God takes away the ruach, the breath of all living creatures, then they die and they return to dust. But when God sends the ruach, the spirit, then they are created. So breath and spirit in the Hebrew are the same word. Also, at the start of Genesis, it says, "Then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being." Just sit with that verse for a moment. There's some really powerful imagery going on there. God could have just clapped. God could have just given a little nod of God's head. God could have just thought us into existence. But actually, the poetic story here is that God breathes life into us. There's a powerful story that's shared around how the essence of God and our breathing are deeply entwined. There's the well-known story in Exodus where Moses approaches a burning bush and hears God's voice. And God wants Moses to rescue his people in Egypt. And Moses responds, saying that the people he will go and tell that God will free them will actually ask what God's name is. So he says to God, "What is your name?" And if you were to look at your Bible now, you would see that it says that God responds saying, "Moses, you tell them that the Lord sent you." L-O-R-D in big capital letters. Well, I'm sorry to break it to you, but God didn't say that. That's the English translation. But it wasn't actually originally written in English. It was written in the Hebrew language. And in Hebrew, the name that has been translated to Lord is essentially just four letters. And we would say those four letters are YHVH. But in Hebrew, the letters are pronounced Yod, He, Vav, He. And over thousands of years, many have come to pronounce that as Yahweh. But actually, many other Christian traditions won't even pronounce the name because they deem it so holy and so sacred. In fact, the ancient rabbis, they believed that these letters, Y, H, V, H, they functioned as vowels in the Hebrew language and they imitated breathing sounds. They actually considered them unpronounceable because they were never supposed to be pronounced in the first place, that they were essentially the sound of breathing. Breathing in and breathing out. Yahweh. Way. The heart of our breathing that gives us life and sustains us not only comes from God, but describes the essence of the God who creates and sustains us. That the name of God is present throughout our lives, in our in-breath and in our out-breath. So according to these ancient rabbis, when we take our first breath when we are born, and when we take our final breath when we die, we are in fact uttering the very name of God. So moving from talking about the Bible on breathing and talking a little bit about some of the science behind breathing and breathing practices. So most of us have experienced our breath, or all of us will have experienced our breath changing as when we encounter maybe a sudden disturbance, something that shocks us, something that catches us off our guard. Sometimes we can bounce back fully in a short time, a few seconds at most. So suppose you're walking along and you drop your keys when you are crossing a zebra crossing. When your hands are full and there's a car waiting at the zebra crossing, waiting to go, and you just drop your keys by accident. And that's potentially no problem, just a minor inconvenience. And we might just catch our breath for a moment as we drop it, and then quickly pick them back up again and walk on. But recovery might take a bit longer, though, if the driver sits there beeping their horn at you as you fiddle around trying to pick up your keys. Or if you're a woman and someone makes a wolf whistle at you. Or someone makes a provocative comment when you're trying to scrabble and pick it up. Or maybe you've got a bag of shopping, and as you go to pick up your keys, you drop your bag of shopping all over the zebra crossing. And you've got cars piling up either side of the zebra crossing, waiting to go, and you're rummaging around, picking up the cucumber and the tomatoes. And with a surge of adrenaline, blood rushes to the large muscles to activate a response as this takes place. The eyes dilate to process the scene. Inflammation prepares the body to respond to injury. Pain tolerance increases, and digestion and immunity responses stop to prioritize protection over health. Breathing becomes more rapid, and this opens up small airways in the lungs, moving more oxygen to the brain for greater awareness. And then getting into even more detail, the autonomic nervous system triggers all these responses in just a flash. Nothing is thought out at this stage. We just sense that there's an emergency far beyond the proportions of a blaring horn or a painful comment or ruined groceries. Then, if you were to add prior trauma and experiences of perhaps systemic sexism or racism or post-traumatic stress, this kicks in. And suddenly the dropping of keys is just the tip of the iceberg. So through evolution, the human autonomic nervous system developed two branches: the sympathetic nervous system and the parasympathetic nervous system, which include up to three neural circuits. So there's engaged, and then there's fight or flight, and then there's freeze. And during the course of a routine day, these systems interact fluidly and respond to a person's needs, kind of evaluating and dropping hormone levels to stimulate wakefulness, affects the immune system, digestion, sleep. When the systems are in harmony with each other, there's a greater resilience to stress. But when the system is repeatedly overwhelmed, the harmony dissipates into an altered feedback system that triggers distress or trauma or And sorry, crucially as well, the autonomic nervous system. It can't distinguish between cars or criticism or loneliness. The nervous system becomes more vulnerable by previous experiences of trauma or shame or violence. So my small example earlier of me fainting quite frequently. That's essentially quite a few times when I've fainted in the past. It's when I've seen blood in some way, shape or form. I don't know if any of you have ever experienced that. And then my body is obviously just kind of shutting down, is kind of just shutting out to seeing that thing. So as a British physician and author, Rangan Chatterjee warns, he says that the body evolved to experience stress in short bursts. We're not biologically suited for extended periods of it. So in the face of all these automatic fight or flight and freeze responses, you might wonder where attention or breath through breathing practices comes into play. So sorry, attention to breath, intentional breathing, how those practices come into play. Are they really valuable? Well, there's actually a load of research on voluntary regulated breathing practices indicating how intentional breathing is and how helpful that is. So there's one study about breathing practices that proved to be successful. And it said it was successful to correct imbalances of the stress response systems and to facilitate emotion regulation, social engagement, bonding, and recovery from trauma. Voluntary, regulated, or intentional breathing practices are particularly useful with those who've experienced symptoms of anxiety, insomnia, depression, stress, trauma-related disorders, and many other things as well. So this intentional breathing, a practice of intentional breathing, interrupts the feedback that perpetuates trauma and helps return the nervous system to harmony. So that was your science session there. But actually, if we combine those two elements, what I've shared about the Bible and about science, if we bring those together on the theme of breathing, that actually what it means is that when we take the time to become more aware of our breathing, to slow down, to take slow breaths in and out, we're simultaneously creating harmony within our nervous system whilst uttering the name of the God who breathed life into us. What a funny coincidence that is in how that seems to marry up so well. It's almost as if someone planned that. So don't hide away from breathing exercises or mindfulness or meditation. They are in themselves not bad things. It's not a bad thing to seek to be fully present with your breathing, with yourself. But within those practices, you simply need to acknowledge the presence of God within them, to be mindful of God within your breathing. So we're just going to briefly reflect on spiritually inhaling and exhaling the breath of God. So what does it mean for us to spiritually inhale the breath of God? Well, as you open yourself up to receive the breath of God, you also open up yourself to many aspects of God that he is breathing into you. They include God's truth, God's grace, his mind, his heart, his character, his riches, his power, his joy, his love. God cries, inhale, often. And God says this in many ways. Again and again, God challenges us to take it in, to receive by his Spirit. To receive by his Spirit what we may not understand or think that we want, but what will always bring life. In John 10:6, it says, Jesus said to them, I am. Do not be afraid. Then they were willing to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the shore where they were heading. And in Matthew, Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. And what about exhaling the breath of God? In Scripture, God cries, exhale, often as well. He also says it in many ways. Always, this exhaling imparts life. As you exhale freely, regularly releasing what God is pouring into you, the presence of God and the kingdom of God touch other people in the world around you. And once again, a couple of scripture verses around that that call us to release, to give, to send forth from what we've received. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. And then also in Matthew, Jesus says, freely you have received, freely give. But also, exhaling spiritually might not be just about letting things out that God has put into us and sharing them with others, but it might also be about letting go of things that might not be of God, or things that God is compelling us to let go of. Perhaps greed, or anger, or resentment, or jealousy, or a lack of self-worth. God calls us to exhale and to release those things. God freely gives and calls us to give to others, but also to let go of the things that we might be holding on to that are taking life from us. I'm just going to invite Abby and Steve to come up now. Steve's going to be playing some music, and Abby is going to be sharing a further reflection in light of what we've preached on. So we're going to be continuing our time together with some reflective practice on the theme of breathing.
I just want to take us further and to use what Nick has spoken about using intentional breathing, concentrating on our breaths, is a way to connect and focus on our Heavenly Father and the Holy Spirit. Intentionally breathing alongside prayer, I hope, will enable a spiritual awakening where we can listen and connect with God's heart at the same time as uniting our bodies with breathing. There are no one way to do this. Looking at this, there are many, many ways of doing this, and I've just picked up two just to give as examples. So the first one, is it coming up? Brilliant. The first one was just thinking about a rhythm within the breathing and to be purposeful and to declare or affirm truths about God. So these may be just words or maybe just phrases. I've just put a couple of phrases up there that as you inhale to have one prayer and as you exhale to have another. And then the other one, maybe more personal. It may be a hope or a desire that you would like to receive at this time, if there's an area that you would like breakthrough or God's guidance for, and then on the exhale, to have more of a confession or a struggle that you'd like to let go of. So whilst I was preparing for today, my prayer was for me to hear God's voice and to let go of mine. And that's what my prayer was in terms of preparation for today. Right, Steve. So, putting these out to you now. You may want to think of these phrases internally. You may want to whisper them to God. You may also want to write them down and use a stone to have as a reminder or just a focus. So I've put three tables out that if you would like to grab a stone just to kind of hold and focus and ground yourself at this time. And you may also want to write the words on there as an aid, or you might just want to hold it. So if you would like to, I'm going to invite you now to grab a stone and a pen. Hopefully they all work to write some words. I'll see if it gets going. Okay, I'm just going to lead us in a time of contemplation, to be reflective in prayer alongside intentionally breathing and focusing on our in-breath. Is advised through your nose to inhale and exhale through your mouth. And if Nick, you could finish us in prayer, that'd be great. Thank you. So if you find a position that you're comfortable to be within, whether that's sitting or kneeling or lying, and if you'd like to close your eyes or focus on the prompts on the screen or just gaze onto something, If you start by becoming more aware of your body and any tension that you may feel within it, and you start from the top of your head and work down, just releasing any tension that you may be feeling, to relax your muscles, and shoulders and arms, down through your torso, your legs. And then just start to really focus on your breathing, inhaling through your nose and exhaling through your mouth. And just start to notice the stillness. Just regulate your breathing. And when you're ready, just to focus on the words that you may have chosen, or phrases declaring, affirming God's truth, or more of a personal prayer. And as you repeat your words, I do truly pray that they will breathe new life through God's Holy Spirit through you, as you breathe in and out.
In your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, all that we have prayed to you this morning, we lift it up to you. Some of those prayers might feel too big a burden for us to carry. But Lord, you take our burdens, you lighten our loads. You make us whole. Lord, we thank you that you are here in this space with us right now. But we also thank you that as we go out of this space, into our own homes, into our work, into our busy lives, that you will still be with us, if only we stop and take notice. So Lord, that's what we ask for in the week ahead, for those opportunities for us to take those intentional spaces to just be. to take a breath, to breathe in and to breathe out, to recognize that you are in our breathing, that you breathe life into us, not just once, but time and time again. May we too be compelled to share that life with those around us. In your name we pray. Amen.